Right, let's get this, as they say, this rogue on the show. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then we will begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning, for life and health and strength. Lord, for your long suffering and patience towards us, for all the blessings that you've sent our way, for our good neighbours, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for the folks down at the far end of the road, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, for Norman and Noel and Joe, for Henry and Evelyn, Lord, for Anne and Eddie and wee Mason. Lord, especially for Kate this morning, pray that you be with her and speak to her about her eternity as she thinks about Sammy. For Sally, for Pearl Hetherington, for Alan Leslie, Lord, for any soul that clicks or on a link or spins up a CD, or Lord, indeed, for Will and Ling and Christy and Norman, for myself and for my good wife, for Esther, for Pat and Steve, Lord, for all those that have been and gone, for Frank too, we miss him as well, Lord. I pray you, Father, your good hand upon all of us this morning. Please be with Maslam and Georgina. Please speak to their kids and save their souls. And Lord, there's just so much going on in the world today. Would you please put a restraining, a tempering hand upon, Lord, those that are in the corridors of power and those that make the big decisions. We thank you for loving us, Lord, and for by all that's going on in the world, we pray that you would just close us in with yourself right now, that you would set a wall around about us, Lord, and keep the world, the flesh and the devil far from us for the next we are or so. But most importantly, Lord, we pray that your will be done. We just thank you for loving us and watching over us, for your Son, for your Word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for all the things that you have done, are doing right now and will do for us in the future. Thank you, Father. And Lord, please look after my dad as he gets his first full day at home on his own. And Lord, we just leave all these things at your feet, along with our private prayer requests and petitions. Bless our service. And Lord, I pray your will be done here. Amen. All right. Number four in the wee book, the wee black book. Number four is holy, holy, holy. Just remain seated as we sit.
Early in the morning, our songs shall rise.
question for you. Was that too low, or was that okay for everybody? Well, that was okay. That's grand. I had to put that down really, really low for me to hit the notes. I was just hoping and praying it worked for everybody else as well. All right. We're not done yet. If you want to take and turn to hymn number 147 in the big books, big thick books, we'll sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. 147. Away for just a wee minute and take your Bibles to James chapter 2, and we're going to read this chapter by way of our Bible reading this morning, or well, one of our Bible readings. James chapter 2, this is one that Steve suggested for us this morning. James chapter 2. Miss everybody when they're not here. I'm sure it probably seems to a certain extent that they're still great reductions in the churches across the land for all the restrictions that are coming in. We need to pray for that as well. We need to pray for that too. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, Sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfil the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor or a breaker of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I believe as there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See ye then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen. Thank you for your good time. We are on. I just want to draw your attention to the little peach, or they're not flavored, but colored. It's not a scratch and sniff or a lick and taste. prayer list, please do bear in mind the entries that are on that prayer list, if you would. We're glad to have Norman with us, although not too close to us this morning. You can still hear him coughing a bit there, although you might say the same about me whenever I was blowing my nose this morning. But I'm claiming hay fever. So we're glad to have Norman with us. So please do continue to pray for him. He's still not 100%, and we're hoping he gets back on his feet as soon as possible. He also has a doctor's appointment tomorrow, so please do pray. Isn't it tomorrow morning? So please do pray about that for him as well. Amen. Please do continue to pray for my dad. He's back home and situated in 13 Kilcomain Park in Portadown, and hoping and praying that things pick up and keep going well for him. And please do remember, we mentioned already our neighbours and the folks on the Maboy Road, if you continue to pray about them. And all the other folks that whose names are called up from time to time. Eddie and Anne and Mason's on my mind for some reason. And don't forget Esther either. I would ask that you would particularly, if the name comes to mind, that you would just pray for Kate Cairns at this particular time. Her name and her husband's name should already be there on the prayer list, but her husband passed away at 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon. I received a call on the way home from Portadown about 1 o'clock asking if I would call in, because he was very ill and we were only in a little bit, and they were putting a morphine driver into her husband to help him ease the pain. And I think even just moving him a little bit in the bed was too much for him, given his very low state, and he just passed away. So please do pray for Kate Cairns at this time, and of course the extended family. If there are any other private prayer requests, right, we'll just make sure of that for you. If anybody else has anything that they don't want to give details for, but the Lord knows about, and you would like to have down there, just stick your hand up whenever we call for private prayer requests. We don't need the details. We'll put your name down. The Lord knows the details, and he's far better at sorting stuff out than we are. We also had an opportunity to call in with the cookery nook. Now, you'd be sad to hear I didn't bring any wheaten bread or pies home with me. But Dorothy Cardwell is not very well, and they're only expecting her to last maybe another week or two or three. We all know how those numbers are just up in the air. But please do pray for the Cardwell family. She was a very nice, she is a very nice lady. And it's amazing how you can get to know people over pie and wheaten bread. But there you go. That's been us the past few years. And just pray for her and her family at this time. For peace for her. Just that she would lean on the Lord. And things would go as well as they can be expected. Amen. Not forgetting Will and his mom and Norman as they mourn the loss of loved ones. Please do remember them. And I think that's really about that. Is there anything else we would need to be aware of? Pray for America and England at this time. Things are going a bit bonkers all over. A lot of the children are being told that they might not be allowed home for Christmas if they stay at university. And I can almost see the government enforcing that too. So please do pray for our government. We might have thought we were escaping the clutches of Germany whenever we got out of the EU, but Germany might have already got into Northern Ireland and Great Britain. So please do pray about that as well. Anybody got any special thanks? I have. I'm just glad my dad's back home again. So I'm going to put that. What I mean is safe and sound.
Don't send him this CD.
It's not that we were itching to get him out of the house, which as soon as I said it and saw everybody starting to laugh, that's just, hold on, they took that the wrong way.
Sorry, it's almost like you wanted to take care of him.
Yes. Yes, Ling. Yeah, we're, yes, Mr. Sue and Joanne, we're continuing to pray for them, yes indeed. Thank you, Len. Yeah. Yep. Do you ever have those instances where things sounded better in your head, but you know what I mean? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll sing another song then. Will, would you pray for us, please, if you would.
Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for being a lovely, warm, sunny morning, Lord, to come up to your presence, Lord. Thank you for getting us out of bed, Lord. And Lord, meeting with like-minded people are saved, Lord. And they come to learn more about thee, Lord, and show your instruction in our lives, Lord. Lord, those people come again, Lord, with Frank, Lord, pray for them, keep them, Lord, bless them, Lord, and protect them again, as you remember, Lord, and these things, Lord. With Carl, John, Stephen, Lord, save their souls, Lord, pray for them and keep them, Lord, also. And with Esther, Lord, help her in her sickness, Lord, help her with skin condition, and also her illnesses, Lord, help her and upgrade her, Lord, and strengthen her and heal her, Lord. I pray they also remember Steve and Pat, Lord, help them with their diabetes, Lord, bless them and keep them, Lord, and heal, especially heal Steve's legs, Lord, and bring them back to health, Lord, and bring them back to church, bring them all back to us, Lord. And with we also work with Leonard, Lord, help him also, Lord, as he's in the care home, Lord, bless him and keep, Lord, and give him instruction also, Lord, and save us, so, Lord. Will it sustain, Lord, and give our land, Lord, heal it, Lord, and Lord, give godly instruction and godly wisdom to our leaders, Lord, to make these things above board, Lord, and with all due diligence, according to the law, Lord, destroy the abortion laws and the LGBT laws as well, Lord. Our Lord, and help us in our land, Lord, and save souls rightly. With Kate as she mourns a family, Lord, help her, Lord, and Lord, bring her to her thoughts, Lord, give her souls, Lord, more or less, Lord, give her the message of salvation, Lord, that she may take hold of Lord Jesus Christ and be saved truly, and Lord, will peace for all time, Lord. Lord, give us this day, Lord, give the wisdom of you to Mark, Lord, as he preaches, Lord, in the Word, Lord, that he may expound to us, Lord, thy mercy and thy love to us, Lord. I pray this day for Jesus Christ, again.
Thanks, Will. All right. Let's take our hymn books again, if you would. I know there were a few other songs mentioned. Here we go. 138, was it mentioned? The Haven of Rest? Or was that one that I picked? It must have been one that I picked. There you go.
138, The Haven of Rest.
Thank you.
Christ, I'm safe evermore. Amen. I hope that was a good practice of, what was that, a cappella? Isn't that what they say? A cappella. Right. If you'd like to take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. I'd like to bring a message on the subject of 5 mil and counting. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to be speaking this morning on the subject of 5 mil and counting. Genesis chapter 3. It's good to see each and every one of you here. It certainly would be lonely without you. Please do pray for those that are just not 100%. As I think Will already mentioned this morning, Pat and Steve do need prayer. Steve is still having difficulty with the effects of diabetes on a wound on his foot and skin problems around his legs. So please do pray about that. And we're glad to hear that Esther's picking up. And we're glad to see Norman sitting there, even though he is sitting on his own in the middle of the church and everyone really giving him a wide berth. But we're glad to see him here with us as well. Genesis chapter 3, 5 mil and counting. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. Christy, would you lead us in a word of prayer, if you would, brother?
This day, the service is far more for me. I'm sung more to me. Every Bible verse read as well, Lord. Thank you in advance for the message that the preacher is about to speak. Lord, I just ask that you be with him this morning. Give him wisdom and power, Lord. A fresh anointing, Lord, a stirring up, Lord, and just that the Holy Ghost would speak through him. Meet needs here amongst us, Lord. And of those, Lord, that would listen to this recording, bless your word on her this morning, Lord. Accomplish you all, we pray. Remember those, Lord, that are grieving also, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray for Kate especially this morning, Lord, for all the family, Lord. Lord, for those that are cast down and sick, Lord, to be with them, give them a touch of healing, Lord, please, and just be with them. Lord, save lost souls, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. 5-0 and counting, I pray that in the context of the first of the Bible verses that we have read, that you understand that we are going to be having a look at all of the times that the devil has tried to destroy God's creation and indeed the people in it and even the people of God. And I want to show you how he has tried and how he has failed these five times. This is the well-known portion of Scripture detailing the fall of man and indeed the fall of creation as well. We all know that everything was just great until the woman, and the Bible says that Adam was pretty much standing right beside her when all of this happened. The woman was talking to the serpent. She should have known better. Adam should have said, serpents don't talk, they're animals. Don't be talking to that serpent and don't be listening to him, but that's 20-20 hindsight. We know that the devil lied by telling the truth. He said, you'll be like gods, and he tempted Eve because I am sure that he wanted the whole of the creation for himself. So he tried to destroy God's special creation, that one part of creation that God breathed into the nostrils, the breath of life, and made us living souls. Is the reason why we can sit here today and think on things and construct reasons for why and understand complex thought processes, and we can appreciate a nice picture or a sunset. There are no other creatures in the world that do that except us. Anyway, he said, you'll not die, but you'll be like gods. And I am sure Eve stopped listening whenever she heard, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And that's the only part of being like God that Adam and Eve actually knew. They knew what was right and what was wrong after disobeying God. And as soon as they did it, they knew that they had done wrong. The devil had told the truth, and he had tricked them and tried to destroy them. Now, it looked like a slam dunk for the devil until God comes along. And the first thing that happens is he realizes that Adam and Eve have done wrong. More than that, they have tried to cover up their wrongdoing by sewing some fig leaves together. And as we read on, we read in verse number 21 there, that God made Adam and Eve skins, something that was going to cover them better than fig leaves. In other words, and that in itself is just a prime example of God saying to us, even though we will try and make up for the bad deeds that we have done by doing good deeds, the only thing is going to cover those bad deeds, those sins, is the blood of the Lamb of God. Shed an innocent substitute, just like these skins here. The innocent blood of a substitute of Jesus Christ in this particular case, who will pay for our sins. That's the only thing that makes a difference. Nothing that we could supply, God had to supply. So it goes on, and there's consequences, and we know there's always consequences for sin. It really is It almost goes without saying, even though it seems to be we live in a time in the world where right the way across the world, people think they can act with impunity and do just whatever they like, even to the taking of other people's lives, their property, their money, and think that they can walk away just because they've got a mask on or they're wearing black just like everybody else. They think that they can get away with this. Regardless of the court of the land of men in which we live, that they fool, regardless of the judge over whose eyes they are able to pull the wool, there is a court that you can't fool, and that is the court of heaven, and God will find out. Of course, he takes them all through whose fault it is, and the consequences are that Adam is going to have to work for his life. He's not going to be able to walk through the Garden of Eden, which was not just like a wee garden that we know it. Would have been a huge garden with many animals in it and him, and pick the fruit off the tree, and one would provide all his protein requirements and another his energy requirements and another maybe all the vitamins that he needed. There was one he didn't get his hands on, was the tree of life, because goodness, he was going to live forever just as he was. But there was a cost to be paid. The Bible talks about the pain that a woman would have in childbirth, and her desire would always be to the woman, and of course the enmity, the animosity that there seems to be between mankind and snakes, in fact between snakes and just about every critter on the face of the earth. If it hadn't been for God supplying the skins of the animals and visiting the consequences of their actions, that would have been a slam dunk. Man would have been done for. He would have had no covering. He would have not have had the curse upon the ground. And people said, oh, I wish the ground would bring more food. But let's be honest, friends. In this age of convenience, right? Now, I know Will and Monica and even Norman are avid coffee drinkers. I'm not so sure about Ling and Christy, but I know my wife is, and I know Norman love coffee. And I remember hearing a funny story, which is a reflection of our desire for convenience and having everything done straight away. And this person went into a shop and said, I would love a cup of coffee. How quickly can you make it for me? He said, well, if you give me about 3 minutes to grind the beans and pour some hot water over it and let it sit in the cafeteria, I can have a coffee for you. He says, 3 minutes is too long. Do you have anything faster? And he said, well, if you give me 2 minutes, I'll boil the kettle and get you and I'll pour, just put coffee granules in and you'll have your coffee, your instant coffee right then. He says, 2 minutes is still too long. Do you have anything faster? You don't get faster than instant, obviously, but for all of our convenience, what have we done with the time? What have we actually done with the time that has been freed up from involving us in honest work? Children don't know how to work for a living. They don't know that the freshly pressed clothes come at a cost of Mummy loading the clothes into the washing machine and maybe standing and ironing them and it taking maybe 2 or 3 hours a couple of times a week to do all that for themselves and their family. They don't understand that the car that they hop into has been paid with at some great cost by Mummy and Daddy as they go out and work. Even people many times do not understand that what they have over their heads is paid for by somebody else. In many cases, now I don't mind, and I do not have a beef with anybody that is ill and needs help or is unable to work. That is fine, but there are people that can work and don't bother. And friends, people don't understand that work is good for you. It keeps your mind focused on not sin. Whenever you're working and doing things for your living, God gave us all of these things to save us, to take us away from ease, to keep our hands busy, to keep our minds busy, and He saved us right there and then. That's 1-0, at least to me anyway. If you want to take your Bibles and move forward to John 19 with me, we've got a few of these. Just beg your indulgence for a little while this morning. We're in John 19 and verse number 26. I want to read you a few verses here. John 19, beginning with verse number 26. Well, verse number 25. This is at the cross of Christ. And just before the Lord gave up the ghost, the word of God says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved," that's John, "he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he saith to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished," that's important, "that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." And here we see what I am sure the world, the flesh and the devil thought was the greatest victory that they had been able to score against God Almighty, the Jewish people, and mankind in general. The death of the Son of God. Now we all know how that story went on and still hasn't ended today, that 3 days later, after being in the heart of the earth, in paradise, the Lord went back up to heaven, stopping off briefly in the graveyard to speak to Mary. Remember, he said, "It's me, Mary, but don't touch me. Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father." We all know that he took captivity captive. And he went up to heaven with his shed blood. And the word of God in Isaiah 53 says, like nearly 1,000 years previously, that God would be satisfied with this payment for our sin. And I am sure the devil... Do you remember the parable that the Lord spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees and told them about the husbandman that set a vineyard and built a wine press and went into a far country and he sent back to get some of the grapes and things whenever the time of the harvest came. And they treated his servants very badly and they beat them and cast them out and one or two they killed. And then he said, "Surely they will reverence my son." And he sent his son. And what did they think? If we kill the son, we will get the inheritance. My mind's still trying to get traction on that idea. It just doesn't work. So they killed the son thinking that they would get the inheritance, but that wasn't the case. He asked the scribes and the Pharisees and all the people that were listening, "What do you think the owner would do?" And they said, "They will miserably kill them and let the vineyard out to other people." And he said, "Yes, that's you." He said, "That's you. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." And here was what looked like the greatest defeat. Upon Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples scattered. In fact, it was one of his disciples that even betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, again prophesied nearly 500 years previously. Goodness. Even one of his closest, Peter, denied him 3 times. This looked like an utter defeat. It looked like a rout, I think they say in battle terms. But we all know that 3 days later... Sorry, before we even get to that, we all know, first of all, that the arrest was illegal. We all know that the trial was fixed. And we know that the witnesses were lying. None of the witnesses could agree. Technically, Jesus could have said, His story is different to his story is different to his story. By your law, I can walk out of here. And not one of you can say a thing. But we know that he didn't come to have a miraculous escape from a courtroom. He came to give us a miraculous escape from the courtroom in heaven. Whenever at the Revelation chapter 20, and we'll be referring to that in a little bit, where so many people, most people in the world are going to stand guilty in front of a judgmental God and are going to be cast into the lake of fire. He came to get us that escape. And you remember what we said at the very beginning? It was only the shed blood of an innocent substitute. If you read in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells you the same thing. It is only with the shed blood of an innocent substitute that sins can be paid for. And Jesus is the Lamb of God, that most innocent and holy and pure of substitutes. And he paid for our sins. I am sure the devil had himself a knees up, a jig and a party. And there was a lot of backslapping going on just out of men's sight around the tomb of Jesus Christ. I am sure there was. I am sure they laughed along and even caused their followers to laugh. Oh, this thorn in our side is gone. We can have it all. But they didn't know that the Lord God Almighty was going to pluck, seeming out of this seeming defeat, the greatest of victories that would ever come across the path of any man, and that is the purchasing of the free gift of eternal life for whosoever will, for anyone that wants it. I can assure you that whenever Jesus started walking about on the face of this world, the devil's messengers were running here, there and everywhere. Straight back to Lucifer when he appeared on the road to Emmaus, when he appeared in the upper room, whenever he appeared and disappeared at the seaside, whenever he forgave Peter the three times for betraying him. The messengers were running to Lucifer, and Lucifer was grinding his teeth. I thought I had killed him. I thought this was all mine. But Jesus beat him again. 2-0. 2-0. Matthew 24, if you're still with me. Turn to Matthew 24. I know we're reading a lot of Bible verses this morning, but I found it to be quite interesting. Matthew 24 and verse number 8, a great chapter in the book of Matthew. It is all about actually these present times and a little bit of time on from here. I only want to read about 11 or 12 verses. Matthew 24, beginning at verse number 8, the Word of God says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. What's this? The wars, the rumors of wars, the famines, the pestilences, and the earthquakes in diverse places. I don't think any of us doubt that we've got our very own pestilence all over the place right now. And the Word of God says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. This is detailing what could possibly end up as the end of the Jewish people, and indeed the end of anybody who has their faith in Christ as their Saviour. This is still to come, by the way. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, that is, the devil standing in the temple on the mount, demanding to be worshipped as God, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Here we see again the devil doing his utmost to make Jesus a liar, to defeat God. Because the Bible talks about God coming back. Back in Zechariah and Jeremiah, it talks about Jesus coming back to this world to rule and to reign from Jerusalem. And that all of his people, all of the Jews, will see him. And will understand at last that this Jesus whom they crucified, whom they pierced, the Bible says, is the Messiah. And as a nation shall come to worship God. Like that. Of course, the Christians will be in there already. But the Jews will eventually get it right. And the devil, I do believe the devil used Hitler to kill 6 million Jewish people, 6 million souls that went into eternity. Trusting Christ, we don't know. Most likely not. But 6 million did his best to wipe out the Jewish problem. What do they call it? The final solution, wasn't that it? What a wicked, wicked man. Anyway, the devil's going to try and kill them all. In fact, it's so bad that God has given them a warning years in advance, in this case thousands of years in advance. When you see this, when you see this man set him up in the temple to be worshipped as God, run. Just run. Run for the mountains. And do you know even the mountains that the Jews have been instructed to run to even now have medical supplies, food supplies, clothing supplies, things that will help them to live through the 3.5 years that this is going to be going on for the Jewish people. And the Bible actually says, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. Friends, this is 3-0. The devil is going to do his best, but provision has already been made to save the Jewish people. And you might be thinking, but how is that 3-0? Because let's be honest. Every other prophecy that has been made in the Bible has come true like it said it would. Even the ones that we're looking at today at the start of our Bible reading there, they're coming true today. I have no doubt this will happen just like it says it will. The devil will fail again. Jesus is coming back. 3-0. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Way to the back. We've gone from the front to the back. We mentioned Revelation chapter 20 earlier on. I just want to read a few verses from this, and then we've only another side of A4 to go. Honest God. But most of it's Bible verses, you'll be glad to hear. Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse number 1. And this is what John saw whenever he was brought up to heaven in the Spirit. He saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. In other words, an angel from God was instructed to grab the devil by the scruff and tie him up for 1,000 years to give everybody in the world a chance at a world without the devil, a chance of seeing what it's like to live in a world doing what God says. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and that hasn't happened yet, folks, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, that's dead in trespass and sin, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death of no power, that they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Sorry, I got that mixed up there. I was thinking of this bit. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Here we have the devil's last attempt to destroy Jesus Christ and to destroy all of his believers. 1,000 years of peace. And you know what the sad thing about it is? Even with 1,000 years of everybody getting a fair shake, of rapists being taken and executed, of murderers being taken and executed, of thieves having to recompense and learn that it is better just to go out and work for what it is that you want, of all the locksmiths' companies being put out of business and prisons probably being put out of business, of everybody having enough to eat and not having to fear for their lives every single day, of knowing that there is a God in Jerusalem that you can go and look at and worship and praise, that same God will save your soul forever. And you can see friends, people that you know, are glorified, saved souls, walking about, laboring with God, and singing and laughing the whole time, not because they're glad of the hardships, but because they're glad to serve God. You would think that people would say, hold on a wee second, maybe I should get saved. Maybe I should start to straighten myself out so that I could have this as well. You would think everybody would be like that. That's the sensible thing. But of course we know that there's always people out there, from the time that there were two people in the world to the time that there are billions of people in the world, there's always somebody there who will be easy to take a hand out of, to make a fool out of. And the devil, after the 1,000 years, he's let go. And he goes out into Gog and Magog to deceive them again, and to try one more time to destroy God's people and even Jesus one more time. And even as he comes around Jerusalem and the camp of the saints around and about Jerusalem, fire comes down from heaven and destroys them. Utterly destroys every single soul that sets their face against God. And the next thing you read is about the great white throne of judgment, about how all those souls that accepted the mark, how all those souls that rejected Jesus, how they all stand before God, not one of them saved. And regardless of what they did in their lives, every single one of them is being thrown into the lake of fire. That is definitely, definitely 4-0. Definitely 4-0. We've got another couple and then we're done. You can follow me in Luke chapter 7, or you can just listen on, and I shall endeavour to get through these as quickly as possible. Luke chapter 7 is just a single line, and this is what the Lord had to say about John the Baptist. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And Romans 10, chapter 9, again, you can just listen. These are verses that are very close to my heart and great, great testifying verses. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lastly, and most importantly for us, this is where the devil will try and get you and me. Well, he can't technically, he can't anymore, but Joe Public. He will try and make sure that people never get saved. For you and me, that's a slam dunk. For you and me, or maybe it's for you and I, is it? Is my wife going crazy down there checking my grammar? For you and me that have seen where we're going through the eyes of God and have gotten down on our hands and knees and begged and pled with God, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, please save me. That's 5-0. That's 5-0. 5-0 to God. We have overcome the world, the flesh and the devil at least once in our lives to ask God to save us. That's 5-0. The reason I have John the Baptist in there is that, and it's an amazing thought, for all the amazing things that John the Baptist did, being chosen of God, being filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, Jesus said he is still the least in the kingdom of heaven. Even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him, because even the least of souls in the kingdom of heaven had to overcome the world, the flesh and the devil to ask Jesus to save them. That's 5-0. Once you're saved, well then, that's up to you to make it. The counting bit, 6-0, 7-0, 8-0. And that's where many of our stories tend to go a bit awry, tend to get a bit messy. But I want for you to know that if you submit yourself to God, if you do things God's way, and whenever temptation comes a knocking, notice I said whenever, because it will. Whenever temptation comes a knocking, you resist it. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It tells us to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. In other words, pursue God. Sometimes it is quite literally like that. The word of God says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and in due time he shall lift you up. You might think, goodness, do I go on? You know what we should be looking for? Maybe I should have called this the whitewash. Because that's what we want, isn't it, really? We want to keep scoring goals against the devil. We want to keep scoring for God. It is possible. Every time that you sit down, that you're tempted to take a drink, to have a smoke, to let loose a string of invective against someone that has done you wrong, or you just want to wring someone's scrawny little neck for them. And let's be honest, we all feel like that from time to time. We have to submit ourselves to God. Even if we have to do it through grinding our teeth and clenching our faces like that. Even if it tastes like the tartest of lemons. We need to submit ourselves to God. And resist that temptation. And it'll go. And you'll win another victory. And another victory. And another victory. And that is the way. You might think, that sounds like a job for the rest of my life. How am I going to do that? And the simple answer is, it's not all up to you. Because if you're with God, God is with you. And if God is for you, what is it? Who can be against you? It's not impossible for a man or a woman with God in their life to succeed in this Christian race, in this Christian battle. It is impossible for a man to do it. Just remember that with God, all things are possible. At the moment, friends, it's 5-0 and counting. I'm sure it's many more than that in your lives for the times that the devil has tried to tempt you away and you have just submitted yourself to God and resisted him and he's gone. But for the newly minted child of the King of Kings, it's 5-0 and counting. Aim for a whitewash. Make God look good. It'll make you look good too. I want to stop there and thank you for your good time. God bless you. We'll close with a hymn. I don't have one in particular. Does anybody have a favourite that they'd like for us all to sing?
This Blessed Old Book.
This Blessed Old Book. Mrs. Bradford, would you mind playing that for us? Hymn number 2, is it?
Yeah.
In the little black books. Hymn number 2. Let's stand as we sing.
It's a well of good water when I'm thirsty and dry. Bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword. A shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I've found to be true, when you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. Pray a good afternoon. Looking forward to services this evening and Wednesday as same time, 7:00. And, amen. Well, could you dismiss us with a word of prayer, please?
Dear Father, thank you for the service, Lord. Thank you for entering into your presence today, Lord. Thank you for every good thing you've given to us, especially on this Sunday and your Sabbath, Lord. We do everything we can to obey you and to do everything that you've put down in the law, Lord, and the book, Lord, that we should follow, Lord. Thank you for the message from Mark, Lord. Use it to up treasures in our lives, Lord, and may we truly look in your face, Lord, and be thankful for the time you saved us from our sins, Lord, and we're Lord Jesus Christ to pay the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for our sins, and to save our lives unto all eternity. Bring us this day, Lord, bring us into your house next upon the time, Lord, and Lord, may we enjoy your Sabbath, Lord, and Lord, be with those people who come out today, bring to your next upon the time, Lord, be with our country, Lord, help people, Lord, get over the coronavirus, Lord, and those are lost, Lord. You may bring them and garner them to your house, Lord, or to yourself, Lord. They may be saved, Lord. We'll stay, Lord. Pray for us, give us for thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Amen.